Hello and welcome to The Plotting Shed. You're listening to Rachel McCarty, founder of plantplots.com and author of the book I Want to Like My Garden. Each week, The Plotting Shed discusses different aspects of garden design, but we focus on things that other books don't really talk about. I hope you enjoy this podcast, and do please hit the subscribe now button so you don't miss another episode. Well, welcome back to this fourth little podcast in our Power Podcast series that we were doing on better decision making for your garden. In order that you can maximise the potential and the benefit of your garden, but minimise the unnecessary waste from your garden. So this week we wanted to talk about what I call up the wall gardening. Plants grow in the ground, in the soil. We change that environment by putting plants in different places. We put them in containers, we put them in pots, and now there's a real movement for having vertical gardens, hence up the wall. And it's how you can try and do that so it's successful, again, without unnecessary waste. It's all about matching the plant to the pot. So do you have hanging baskets, don't you?
I have done a lot of hanging baskets in the past, and I did them brilliantly and beautifully, but my goodness, they're hard work. Nowadays, I've taken a leaf out of your book, and I tend to just put herbs in hanging baskets if I do them. Or very, very exceptionally, I might pop something in somewhere for a little splash of colour, but it's something I've moved away from, to be honest. I think it's the real skill in doing it, but I think that we have lots of reasons to revisit this. So if I were in a situation in the future where I wasn't lucky enough to have a garden and I only had a balcony, I think I'd need to learn how to do this really well. Remember the previous podcast we talked about, there's much less input and work if you buy a plant that's appropriate for the place you're going to put it. But you don't even have that luxury, do you? If you don't have a garden, you've got to put it in a pot. You've got to do it another way.
Oh, absolutely. If you remember, we were saying about the questions you need to ask before you make a buying decision. And as soon as you take a plant out of the ground, as Helen said, you are giving it unusual growing conditions. But you might be thinking, well, why? Because it's still in the soil. It's just in a pot. How come that's different? Because after all, they're still got the roots in the soil. You still water them, you still fertilize them, don't you? But what happens is this: the plant's roots are closer to the atmosphere than they would be in the ground. They are more susceptible to the changes in the atmosphere than they would be if the plants were set in the ground, because soil temperature changes much less than the air temperature changes. So in any hanging basket or pot, or if you've got those pouches that people put on the wall, you need to consider the fact that the air is going to affect the plant's roots in a way that it doesn't do in the soil. There's more evaporation, there is more heat, there's more cold, and because the plant is up in the air effectively, the water runs through. Gravity draws that water through the pot fast. And the water will run through before the plant's roots have actually had a chance to suck any of the water out. So you're giving plants really, really tough conditions. The problem is, most of the time, the plants that are sold in these containers and pots are the ones that are really not well adapted to grow in these conditions very well at all. They're giving you a task, a job to do to keep them looking good. So what would we do that was different?
I think if I had to make a change back to growing vertically in baskets, I need help with that.
The most important, easiest changes that you can make is to buy the biggest pots that you can. Now, you might be thinking, oh crikey, but that's weight and that's size and that's everything else. But the fact of the matter is, you can pack more in a bigger pot, but the soil will heat up less intensely than in a smaller pot. So you are mimicking the conditions in the ground more by having a bigger pot. And don't forget, if you do buy a really tall, big pot, you don't have to fill it with soil from top to bottom. You can put ballast in the bottom, a lightweight ballast in the middle, And you might only need 20 or 30 centimetres of soil at the top, as long as you've got something to prevent the soil from running through to the bottom of the pot. The big pot will heat up and cool down less. It will evaporate proportionately less than a smaller pot. You can get more soil in there, you can get more plants in there. It's just an easier way to grow. In a small space, having one big pot that's a really big, beautiful display is a lot better and a lot easier to look after than 10 different tiny pots all standing on one of those sorts of corner units, you know, which may look nice, but they're harder work. One of the things that we were saying about water retention with pots is how you can actually keep the water in the pot long enough for the plant's roots to be able to get a benefit from it. Most people, when you're planting in a pot, you'll go and buy a compost. But actually, if you've got a plant that's going to last more than a few months, you need to use more topsoil. So you can mix some compost in with it, but predominate with topsoil because it has better water retention qualities and nutrition. And that's what the soil grows in, that the plant will grow in naturally, isn't it? It doesn't grow in compost naturally, it grows in topsoil naturally. And then we had this debate, didn't we, about water granules. Because lots and lots of pre-planted pots and containers that you have will already have these water granules. These then swell up and hold the moisture, which allows the plants to grow better. And indeed they do. But they come at a cost, don't they, H?
And we did have a go at going online, didn't we, to check what these granules were made of. Actually, is this something that we're inadvertently doing harm? People had no idea about microplastics and how they were being liberated into the environment. And I slightly worry whether we could be doing that with these water granules, and I genuinely don't know the answer.
We went to have a quick look, and I was surprised because I have used water granule crystals in my pots in the past. I mean, where I would normally have my pots in the garden, it's a very sunny site, and I thought that would be a good thing to do because it just means that they hold the moisture just that little bit longer. So we found a document that was actually from Australia. I didn't realise it's the same stuff as goes in disposable nappies. These, you know, obviously they retain water and they swell up, but they're not soluble. Now, there may be some soluble water granule things that might dissolve over a period of time. But the problem is this. We said a couple of weeks ago, you need to think about the holistic approach. So whatever we put and whatever we grow, how is that from start to finish? So you've got your plant pot, maybe some nice bedding, or you've got your hanging basket and you've bought it and it says that there's water retaining granules in there to help you with your watering. Great, fantastic. And at the end of the season, you then throw compost away in your compost heap. Potentially, we're adding nappy granules to the compost that we're putting back into the soil. I understand that we want to make watering easier, but aren't we tackling this problem from the wrong end?
Absolutely, yeah.
If we had plants in the pots and the baskets in the first place that could cope with those conditions without mm-hmm. the need for water granules, isn't that a better option?
Yeah.
I do grow plants in pots, and as I've become busier and I've had less time to garden, I've had to change my aspiration for growing out of the ground. We're conditioned to have pot displays that are very, very florally abundant, overflowing with flowers, aren't they? Now, that's high maintenance, high water usage, high fertilizer, time consuming, fabulous displays. I prefer to pare down my display that might not have such big blousy flowers, but those flowers look better because they're happy growing where they are. Most of my plants in pots now are grasses. The grasses have really, really, really shallow roots. They're used to tough conditions. In fact, they perform better in really shallow soil and tough conditions because then the grasses send up the seed heads in order to reproduce and they don't produce thick, fat, green, lush grass. Now, they dangle down grasses, don't they? So in a pot, they look nicer. But what I have found, which I didn't think of, which was the added benefit, is because I've got them against a white wall, I get all the shadow play from the grasses. So I get a display, but it's just not a display that we've been conditioned that should be having. any hanging basket I have now is in a shady space. And I only put plants in it that grow in super, super tough environments, because they will grow well in the super tough environment of a hanging basket. So things like vinca. Now, you would never put vinca in the garden because it would just
get romp away and I'd be cursing it forever. Yeah.
Yeah, but in a hanging basket in a shady corner, you will get a beautiful green display. So for me now, I think hanging baskets should be shade loving, but change your aspiration and you will find that the display that you get is better and it will look after itself. And surely that's one of the things that we're trying to achieve. For sunny spots, you remember that little white aster daisy that we all see growing in the cracks and crevices? Perfect.
Yeah.
That will just have this filler hanging basket with this tumble of white flowers.
Yeah.
All, and beautiful. You won't have to do anything. Use seed bombs. Mm. Wildflower seed bombs. Bung those in your hanging baskets. You've seen again wildflowers, the little corncockles and the poppies. They will grow in a crack in the crevice. In the pavement. Well, if they'll grow in there with the heat from the pavement, they'll love
the tougher the better. You know, they love to grow in awkward places, don't they?
Yeah. So why can't you have wildflower hanging baskets that you've just put seed bombs in? They'll cost nothing. Mm. You know, you can buy packets of them for £5 or something, and you just plant them up for yourself.
I might try that actually next year. I've got some seed bombs left over from this year that I'd never thought of putting them in a hanging basket. Do you know the other lovely thing about that is if you're in a very tiny space like a balcony, you are right up close. You're not seeing these from a distance. So if you've got these tiny little pretty flowers, you're really going to appreciate them more at eye level.
Yeah, I think they're ideal for balcony gardens because they will attract pollinators.
And that's the other added, you're doing your bit for pollinators in a place that would have been a desert for insects.
Yeah.
Without that burst of wildflowers. Yeah. It's a brilliant
idea. I think seed bombs and wildflower mixes and put those in your hanging baskets in a sunny spot. Use the grasses. You will get much more out of the display, especially sitting on a balcony. I mean, crikey, you've got the wind, you've got the rain, you've got the sun. Grasses will thrive and you will have this animated display to watch at the same time. But there is one more group of plants that you probably wouldn't have thought of to put in a hanging basket display or in a hot sunny container. Where in the world would you get really, really intense sunshine, really, really cold nights, heavy, heavy, heavy frosts, really thin rocky soil, high winds,
up a mountain, top of a cliff?
If plants can grow up a mountain or top of a cliff, those are the plants that you put in your pot displays. Thrift, Almeria.
In a block of flats on a balcony.
On a block of flats, Alpine plants. They need that sharp drainage, that poor soil. Those are the conditions that they thrive on, which is exactly what you've got in a balcony. So why put in a really tough environment some kind of needy little plant that will struggle? If you've got vertical plant pouches on the walls, again, they're really difficult to keep, you know, the planting pockets on the walls. They're really, really hard to keep wet and for long enough for the plants to benefit from it because of the evaporation. So again, things like the alpines can grow in there. You've got herbs that will grow in crevices, those little tiny asters, the carex with really, really short root systems. Those will all thrive. So change your perception and you get a better outcome for your gardening. And it's something that you will need to garden less to still have the same sort of display. And in fact, if you wanted to see how gardens could look in the future, and there is an architecture company called Koichai Takada, and in Brisbane, I'll put the link on the for the picture on the show notes, but they are now creating and designing tower block jungles. So this is a 30-story tower block, and each balcony now will have that jungle planting all the way up for 30 stories. But because they're doing it as a whole, you create that microclimate that would be that urban jungle. If you use the right plants, You can do it yourself. You don't need to be a professional. Yeah,
and virtually no maintenance, really. So you're not having to rely on each balcony holder to be committed to it, because if you get it right, it will thrive on its own.
It will thrive and grow. So, you know, alpines, vincas, ivies, grasses, you know, even also some spring bulbs, because that's when it tends to be cooler and wetter, so the bulbs can come up in the pots in the spring before it really heats up, and then they go back down again and are dormant when the conditions are toughest. So I'll put some notes on sort of plants that you can have on the show notes with this particular podcast. But we hope you've enjoyed these four little power podcasts that we've done about putting together better decision making for your gardening. And we will speak to you next week. So it's bye from me.
And bye from me.
Well, thank you for listening. You have been listening to Rachel McCartain of The Plotting Shed. If you've got any questions about this podcast, please email me, rachel@plantplots.com, or you visit the website with loads of different information on garden design and gardening advice, along with planting plans that you can download. You can look at the designs that we've created. So do take a look, and please do hit the subscribe now button so you don't miss another episode. You can also donate if you go onto the website plantplots.com. There's a little button there saying you can buy me a coffee. So all donations will be hugely appreciated. Thank you very much. Enjoy your week, enjoy your garden, take care and stay well.